Okay, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We'll start from the last few words on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We were discussing Shabbos clothes. That's how we got into the whole discussion. So he's going back to the general idea that just like on Shabbos, you have to put on Shabbos clothes. Also, in general, whenever you do a mitzvah, you go to daven, you have to have nicer clothes. A Talmud Chacham should have nicer clothes. And it all fits with Rabbi Yochanan's general opinion that clothes are the things that respect the person, money mechabdusa. So Rabbi Yechon is going to bring a proof. Where do we see that if you want to serve Hashem properly and you want to like honor Him, the way to do it is they're putting on nicer clothes. Amar Rabbi Yechon Minayin, how do we know the Shinui B'godim in HaTorah that he's supposed to change clothes for something holy? So the Raya is Shenemar Ufashet Es B'godav V'Lovesh B'godim Achim. It says when they did the Trumas Hadeshen, they would take a bit of the ashes and put it on the side of the Mizbeach. And then occasionally they would remove the whole pile of ashes outside of the Machane, outside of the city. So the Pasuk says that before you do that, you have to remove your clothes and put on other clothes. And we learn that it doesn't mean that they should put on not Kohen clothes. They have to have Kohen clothes throughout. Rather, it means it should have lesser quality of Kohen clothes. The same Kohen clothes, but a lower quality. Why? Because when they carry the ashes, they would carry it for a long time outside of the city, and the wind's blowing, so most likely the ashes will blow on their clothes, and it won't be clean, and therefore it won't be respectful to use those clothes to actually bring a carbon. And that's why they would have to change to a lesser quality of Kohen clothes, which means they have to preserve that the clothes that they actually come and do the Avodah with remain perfectly clean. So that shows that clothes are a way of honoring. The Torah is teaching you a way, a proper way of behavior. When you cook food for your master or for your Rebbe, don't pour a cup of wine for him with that same clothing. Both of them are doing a service for the Rebbe. But the one that you're cooking with becomes dirty, and you're not coming to your rab. When you're giving him a cup of wine, you don't get dirty, and you're actually coming to him. So don't come to him with your dirty clothes from the kitchen and say, "Hey, it's very holy clothes. I've worked for you." Yeah, you worked for me, but change it. Because before you come to me, you have to be more presentable. So the same thing is, although Truma Sadashin is for Hashem, but since it's not such a clean and not such a close service of Hashem, you have to remove it. Fine. Now that we're talking about clothes being a way of honoring your relationship with Hashem, we're going to bring the concept of a Talmud Chacham having respectful clothes. It's a shame for Talmud Chacham. You should go out with shoes which are patched. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina Nafik was a great rabbi. Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, he was poor, and therefore his shoes had to be patched. And he went out to the street with patched shoes. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Eder Rav Nachman b'tlai al gabi tlai. We're talking about that the patch itself tore, and you're patching it on top of it with another patch. That really looks embarrassing, and that's not respectful. Being poor those days was not such an embarrassing thing. People were poor, and they had patched clothes, patched shoes. But if you have to patch your patch, that's already crossing the border, and therefore a Talmud Chacham should not walk like that. Fine? A Talmud Chacham which has a fat stain, a stain of fats, of familiar of fats, on al bigdi, on his clothing, chayiv misa. It's very embarrassing, very not respectful. If he has such a stain on his clothing and he lets himself be seen with that, he's embarrassing the Torah. And therefore he's chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. In other words, there's the concept of really embarrassing Hashem, which deserves this title. Shenemar, as it says, kol misanai o'avu mavis. It says, those who hate Hashem love death. Al tikrei misanai ela masniyai. Don't read it. Those who hate Hashem, rather those who make Hashem hate it. If they behave in a disrespectful way, then it makes, and they stand for being a Talmud Chacham, it makes people look at it and say, hey, it's not worth it to be a Talmud Chacham, it's not worth it to be devoted to Hashem, and if it makes Hashem Kaviyachal hated, and therefore it's all Abu Mavis, it leads to that result. Fine. Ravinomar Rivad Itmar. It's not a Rivav, a stain of fats, rather Rivad, a stain of Shechazer. Only that's considered embarrassing. It says the Gemara Vele Pligi. Habiglim Habiluvusha, the one who said that it's a fat stain of fats, it's talking about on his cloak and his outer garment. The one who said that it's talking about a Shechazer, that's Biluvusha, that's undergarments. So it's the undergarments, the only thing that's embarrassing is Shechazer. If there would be fats in undergarments, that wouldn't be a problem. However, on his cloak, then if he has a stain of fats, that's considered embarrassing. Fine. V'amar b'chivar amam Rabbi Yechanan ma'idich siv kasha holach avdi yishayi orim v'yochiv. Again, Rabbi Yechanan and the student, I skipped the beginning. It was also Rabbi Chiyabar Abba Amar Rabbi Yechanan. I just started from Amar Rabbi Yechanan. All right. It's all these statements of Rabbi Chiyabar Abba Amar Rabbi Yechanan which are pointing out this idea that clothes respect the person. So there's a pasuk which in Yishayi which says that for 3 years Yishayi was walking around naked and barefoot because a lot of the nevuos were to bring down in a very practical way what's going to happen. And that was a nevuah what's going to happen to Mitzrayim and to Kush when Nebuchadnezzar will conquer them, that they'll be taken. He had no respect for them. He took them without clothes. That's how he proved the point. Yishai was walking around in Eretz Yisrael without clothes and barefoot. I mean, come on, Yishai was the Navi. It sounds a bit strange. Says, well, you're right. It didn't happen that way. It means he went out with rags, with warm clothes, and he wore patched shoes. And that proves Rabbi Yechanan's point, that your clothes represent you, and if you're going with clothes which disrespect you, it's as if you're going without clothes and without shoes. That's basically what he's trying to bring out of it. So that's what it means, and he went without clothes and without shoes. Fine. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hashem learned in the Mishnah similar to this idea of stains and clothes. Revav al Amridas. If one has a saddle for donkeys, which has a fat stain on it, so chaitzitz, if you want to toivel it, the stain is the chatzitza because you would want to remove it, you wouldn't just leave it there. You don't need a saddle to be perfectly clean, but you don't want a fat stain on it, it's a disgusting thing. So you would wash it off before using it. So you're makbid on it. You want to remove that dirt. And therefore, it's a chatzitza. If you want to toivel it, it's not kosher tefillah until you remove it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Eimer, no, not every small drop is already a problem. At ki iser italki. It has to be the size of a small coin, iser. And if it's anything larger than that size, then it's a problem. If it's anything smaller than that, it's not a problem. Valab godi, but if it's on clothes, mitzad echod, if it's only a stain that didn't seep through the garment, it's only on one side of the garment, people are not so worried about that. A stain, what's the big deal? Shnei tzadim, if it's from two sides, went through and through, then chaitzitz, then it's a problem. One second. Okay, I guess maybe a saddle, you sit on it, you want it to be cleaner than the clothes that are just on you, whatever, it's dirty, not a big deal. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, af mitzad echot choytzitz. Even one side, even if it didn't go through and through, it's already a chatzitz, you must remove it on a clothing before tabling it. Fine. Now, no one said about a saddle if it has to be through and through or it's enough on one side. It said like this. On a saddle, fats are a problem. On a clothing, it's only a problem when through and through. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, one side is already a problem. And what about the saddle? Were you talking about that it went through and through? Or were you talking about that it was just a stain on the outer layer? So, Rabbi Shimon Lakish asked Rabbi Chanina, Mirdas, Mitzadechot Mishnei Tzadim. What's about a saddle? What type of stain are we talking about? Through and through on one side? Amalei Zulei Shamaiti. I never heard a clear answer for this question. I heard something similar to this.
Tnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yaisi, Amen. Rabbi Yaisi says, Shel Banoim, we'll see soon what that means. Banoim, the builders clothes mitzad echad. If a builder has a stain, he's very careful about the cleanliness of his stain, of his clothes. And then if there's a stain from one side, it's already a problem. But shel bor, a bor, I think it's also called in English, something like that, a not smart person, yeah? Mishnei tzadim, then it's only a problem from two sides. A builder is more careful than as close than a regular person if he's not so smart. What's going on over here? Okay, so we'll explain. So now we're just focusing on the second part, the bor and am oritz. So v'leite heimar das chashuv mibigdish alam oritz. Am oritz is a normal person. He just, in those days, when we talk about an Amma Oritz in not a respectful way, we're mainly talking about those that didn't want to devote themselves to learning Torah because they would rather devote themselves to make money, to work in the field, and to have produce, and to whatever. They prefer that. Fine. And they don't need to respect themselves so much. Fine. And therefore what? Therefore, if it's a stain through and through, they care about it. If it's just the outside, they don't care about it. What, you're going to tell me that a saddle of a donkey has to be cleaner than the clothes of an amaretz? No. So definitely a saddle, when we talk about a stain of fat, we're talking about if it went through and through. Fine. So we understand half of the sentence, shalbur. But what's the first half of the sentence? What's banoi? What are these builders? My banoi. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Eilu Tamid HaChamim. Sha'iskim v'minyoni shalodom kol yimeyim. It said, we say it every day. Who builds the world? The Talmidei Chachamim. So they're considered the builders. The builders are not allowed to have a stain even on one side of the clothing. However, an Am Haaretz can have it as long as it doesn't seep through and through. Fine. Now that we're talking about a Talmid Chacham and we're quoting Rabbi Yochanan, so we're going to continue with a lot of things that Rabbi Yochanan said about a Talmid Chacham, and only then we're going to talk about another opinion, what Banoim is. Baba Rabbi Yechim. Ezel Talmid Chochem. Now, Talmid Chochem is used for many halachas. So it depends which halacha we're talking about, what classifies someone as a Talmid Chochem. Today, everyone's a Rashke Bahag. But in those days, it was enough to be called a Talmid Chochem. And they also had to go through a certain criteria. So what is that? Ezel Talmid Chochem, Shemachzirum Liyavedu B'tvi Yusayim. Who is a Talmud Chacham that if he could trust him, if he lost an object, say, hey, I found an object, but there's no simon over here. He says, don't worry. Let me just see it. Yes, it's mine. Yeah? See, he has to be a trustworthy person. Who could be a trustworthy person? Zahamakbid al-chalukai lohavchai. I guess it has to be, first of all, we know that he's a Talmud Chacham. But after that, he also has to be someone that does not wear his clothes inside out. In those days, I guess the Amei Haaretz, those that worked in the field, couldn't care less if the cloak was a bit inside out. They saw the seams on the outside, it wasn't a big deal. A Talmud Chacham, he's not just learning Torah, he respects the Torah. And therefore, he's careful that he doesn't wear inside out clothing in order not to embarrass the Torah. So, if on top of being a Talmud Chacham, he's careful on his presentation, so then he can trust his word. Fine. Now, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ezel Talmud Chacham, Shemiman Mesei Parnes Al Hatzibur. If you want to make a Talmud Chacham a leader of a certain congregation, a congregational rabbi, then what does he have to be? Zeh she'el noisid var halacha b'chol mokim v'imer. You ask him halacha anywhere. Yes, just on the, you know, what's halacha in this case? And he can answer right away. V'afilu maseches kalu. Maseches kalu is masechta b'raisis, which talks about chasna, talks about the halachas of Shem and Brachas and different things that has to be done by a chasana. It's not a mishnah, it's a braisa, and if it wasn't commonly learned, it's one of those small masechas which were not included in the mishnah, so most people didn't know it. But if you want to be a rabbi, you got to know even that. You have to ask Allah and you can answer right away, even from masechta kala. V'omer Rabbi Yochanan Ezel Talmud Chacham shebnei mitzuvim nasis limulachti. A Talmud Chacham, it says that if he has a job to do, other people in town must take that job from him and do it for him. He shouldn't waste his time from learning Torah. It says that the Davidah told Moshe to make an Arim, a Sisa, and then later it says, Va'asu, they will make the Arim. Because once he became a teacher of Torah to all the Yidden, They had to take over his jobs. So who is the Talmud Chacham which classifies that people should take over his jobs? Ze sheminiach cheftzoi, the one who puts aside his own needs, v'oisik v'cheftzoi shemayim, and gets involved in the Davish's needs and learning Torah. If you just see him, he could gain things, and he puts it aside, says, no, I have to learn Torah, I have to teach Torah. That's his priority, that's enough, that if he wants to continue learning Torah, people will take over his job because he deserves it. He's not just trying to make, to use out other people. The contrary, you see that he has needs or things that he could gain. He says, no, why should I get involved in that? Let me sit and learn Torah. So then, if he voluntarily dismisses his own needs in order to learn or to teach Torah, then that makes sense that other people should try to avoid things that will force him to stop learning Torah. They should take it over. He can't ask them to start, building him a mansion. If he needs food, and he would have to be mevatel Torah in order to make just enough money to have bread, so then they should do it for him. More than that, if you want to have more work, if you want to learn Torah, that means you're giving up the luxuries. Fine, so give up the luxuries. If someone is interested in helping him, that's a very, very praiseworthy thing, like those Tanoim which had those that supported them for learning Torah, but you cannot say that they have to, other than giving him his basic needs. Fine? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eizu Talmud Chochem. Oh. This will calm things down. Not every congregational rabbi has to be such a bucky b'shas. So let's see. He says another statement, Eizu Talmud Chochem, and he doesn't say for what. Till now he said for what? For a Veda, for a Parnas, for doing the Malacha for him. Now he just says, Eizu Talmud Chochem. If he asks him halacha anywhere, and he says it's a similar statement to what he said before with two differences. One thing he doesn't say parnas al tzibur, another thing he doesn't say masech tekav. Yeah. So what's the difference? Says the Gemara, the mind of kemina. What are you talking about? What is this negiah for? Which talmud chacham are we talking about? So he says we're talking about the same thing we said before, the nuya parnas al tzibur, to make him a rabbi of a congregation. But here he didn't say afilu masech dekala, which means to say even in one subject. There's one subject that any question you ask him, that any question you ask him he can answer, and that's good enough. If he wants to be the rabbi of his town, then as long as there's one masech that he can answer you right away any question, that's good enough. However, if he knows what we said before, even Masech Tekala, Bereish Nesifti, it can be the Rosh Yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva then, the Yeshivas were the places where all the rabbis came to hear their halachas. It was like the few big Yeshivas that basically the heads of the Yidden were the heads of the Yeshiva. So to be a head of the Yeshiva, to teach, to be a rabbi of rabbis, that you need to know fluently anything. But to be a rabbi of a small congregation, you actually have one thing that you know fluently. Everything else you also have to know a bit. But there's one thing that you know fluently, they can ask you any question, and one subject, one masechta, and answer your question, that's good enough. Fine. So now we spoke about Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained that banoim, that the stains, the fat stains on banoim's clothes, even from one side is a problem, means tamid chachamim. And from that we got involved in all different statements he says about tamid chachamim. Now we're going to the second opinion, what banoim means. Rabbi Shimon Lakishayim Omer, Eilu kelin ho'ilayrin. These are bath clothes. Banoim is another word for a bathhouse. Beit bani. It's a bathhouse. So the clothes of the bathhouse. Which clothes of the bathhouse? Aboim medina sayan. Not in Eretz Yisrael. But in far further countries, maybe in Greece, whatever, the more, those fancy countries that were around then, for Choshev people, when they would go out of the bathhouse, they would have special clothes to wrap them around. I guess until they dry up totally, they shouldn't catch a cold while they're leaving the bathhouse. So they would wrap them around with special drying, warming clothes. And it was white clothes, it sounds like. And if any small stain would come in it, it would just make it
look very unpresentable. So we're not talking about Tamid Chacham's clothes, we're talking about bath clothes, special posh bath clothes. Says the Gemara, 1 second. It would only be a problem if it's white. If it would be red or colorful, then even if it's a bath clothes, still, if it's a small stain, no one sees it. The main one, are you trying to say the Chirinino, that the bath clothes were white? Rabbi told the children like this, Banai, I'll take Biruni, they shouldn't bury him. Loi bekelim levanim, not with white clothes. Loi bekelim shchirim, not with black clothes. That's not what was done today, but that was what he told his children. Levanim, you shouldn't put him with white clothes. Shemalei eske, maybe he'll end up in again. Ve'eye kechosim min aveinim. Everyone there is with black clothes. They're all burnt from the fire there, whatever it is. And he's going to come with white clothes. It's not going to fit. It's not going to match the scenery there. Shouldn't put black clothes. Shem Eske, maybe he'll go to Gan Eden. Ve'ye Kovel and Chassan, everyone's dressed with white. And he's going to be dressed with black. Elim Kalim Ho Lighting. They should dress him with bath clothes. Haboyim Dina Sayam. So what is it? It's not black, it's not white. It's obviously colorful. Alma Sunkininu. So typically, I guess the other typical color was red. So probably it's red color. It's red clothing. So what are you telling me that it's white and therefore a small stain is a big deal? Says what again, like Kashia. Habiglimi Abulavushi. The cloaks, the outer garments, were black, were red. The undergarments of these bath clothes were white. And I guess since it's still very chashiv, they still were very careful not to have a stain even on the outside, the outer layer of these bath clothes. Fine. Okay. So we finished with the story of the clothes. We're continuing with the mission. Rabbi Shmuel Leiman Mekavim Chul. I don't know why the Gemara is quoting that part. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the next part, what the Chul is referring to, that you're allowed to bring the fat from the Karbonis of Shabbos and they burn it on the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur. Where did you learn that from? Tanur Rabbanon Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbati. The Pasuk says that you could burn the Karbon Oil of Shabbos on its Shabbos. So he's reading it first of all as if it wouldn't say a Vov. Oilas Shabbos B'Shabbos. That's what it should say. Oil of Shabbos b'Shabbos. Bring the oil of a Shabbos on Shabbos. So from that, without the Vav, we learn now, Tulimed al-chel v'Shabbos shekrevim b'Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos, Shabbos is called Shabbos. You can bring the chalavim of one Shabbos on the other Shabbos. So if Shabbos was there on Yom Kippur, so on Yom Kippur night, and what's a Shabbos, you can bring the chalavim of Shabbos. Yochel, you might think, Avshal Yom Kippurim and Shabbos, the other way around, it will also work. That if Yom Kippur was out of Shabbos, you could bring the Chalavim of Yom Kippur on Friday night. Tamar Levinov, it's Shabbat Toy, but it does say a Vav. The Vav tells me that only it's Shabbos, not a different Shabbos. That's only excluding from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, but it's not excluding from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Okay? And 1 second. Okay. Fine. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Amar, no! Eilas Shabbos b'Shabbos, again, let's say we'll read it that one Shabbos can be burned on another Shabbos. Limed al chel v'Shabbos shekrevim miyom tov. It's teaching us that if Shabbos was out of Yom Tov, then on Motzei Shabbos, which is Yom Tov, you can burn the chalavim of the Shabbos karbonos. Yochel Abi Yom Kippurim. You might think that if Shabbos was on Yom Kippur, you could burn the chalavim of Shabbos on Yom Kippur. Tamalei no b'Shabbat toy. So he learns that no, the Vav is coming to tell us that Yom Kippur not. It's coming to tell us that Yom Tov yet. Now, why didn't Rabbi Shmuel learn that way? Obviously, because he held that to burn chalavim of Shabbos and Yom Tov is not a chiddush, it's an obvious thing. Why is it an obvious thing? It says the Gemara like this, if you'll dig in a bit to find that the logic of this machlokes is, try to find what's behind it, you'll say like this. There's a machlekes if I'm allowed to bring voluntary karbonis and yomtiv. Shlom. No, I'm sorry. No, even oilo maybe. 1 second. Yeah, it seems like even oilo. So check it up, I'm not sure. So there's a machlekes if you're allowed to bring karbonis on yomtiv. You're only allowed to do eichel nefesh and yomtiv. And this is not eichel nefesh. Or let's say if it's a shlomim, then it is eichel nefesh, but you'll have the chalavim that you're going to burn in the mizbeach, and the chachil is supposed to put it, he's supposed to burn it on Shabbos. Maybe taka, I'm not sure. Maybe taka, we're talking about davke shlomim, you have to check it out. But you're allowed to bring it on yomtiv, although no one told you to, and you could burn the chalav on the mizbeach. So we see that voluntary karbonis, you're allowed to burn the chilev on the mizbeach. So therefore, the korban that I had to bring on Shabbos, for sure I could burn it on Yom Tov. I don't need a pasuk for that. If a korban that I didn't have to bring, I'm allowed to burn its chilev on Yom Tov, on the Dorim and the Davis. So a korban that I had to bring on Shabbos is a question if I could burn it on Yom Tov, for sure I could. So I don't need a pasuk. And therefore, the chayitzrich krali, the extra pasuk is being keeper. The divi Rabbi Kima, the daughter of the was saying, "Create me yomtiv." You're not allowed to bring voluntary kabbonos on yomtiv. So, the chayitzrich krali, mishra yomtiv. I don't know that you're allowed to burn Shabbos as chalovim on yomtiv. Who said the daughter of the davis? You're not allowed to. So I take it, I don't know. So I need a pasuk. So the pasuk Shabbos b'Shabbat is telling me, Shabbos b'Shabbos is telling me I'm allowed to bring yomtiv on Shabbos. I'm sorry, Shabbos on yomtiv. And therefore, the Shabbat toy, the exclusion of the Vav, is telling me not Yom Kippur. That Shabbos, I cannot bring in Yom Kippur, and that's really not what it means. You have to look what's behind the machlokes. Fine. That's that. So, to summarize, Rabbi Yochanan holds that clothes are a way to show respect in Kedushin. Where does he learn that from? From the fact that the Kohen is supposed to change. When he's taking out the desh and the ashes outside of the machane, he's supposed to change to other Koyin clothes. Other big dikun. Why? Because it will become dirty and it won't be respectful to come and be the korbanis. And we see that you have to, the Torah cares about the respect of your clothes. Then we started speaking about Talmidei Chachamim. That Talmidei Chachamim should not go with torn shoes but with patches, but some did. A patch on a patch. They shouldn't go with a fat stain on their clothes. And if yes, it's Chayiv Misa because they're making people hate the Torah. Now Rabbi Yochanan holds when it says that Yeshaya walked around without clothes and without shoes, it means with worn out clothes, with worn out shoes. Because he holds again that clothes are meant to respect you, not just to cover you. And therefore if he went with unrespectful clothes, then it's called that he went without clothes. Then there's a Mishnah which speaks about a fat stain on a saddle and on clothes. That on a saddle the conclusion is only if it's a stain which goes through and through, then it's a chatzitza for mikveh. On clothes it depends. Banoim's clothes, even on one side, is a problem. However, Abur's clothes, only if it's through and through. What's a Banoim? Says Rabbi Yochanan, they build the world. They have to have clean clothes. This supports his opinion. Reish Lakish says, no, it's bath clothes. The underclothes of bath clothes were white. And they were very expensive clothes, not regular black clothes. Imported black clothes, the bath clothes that were only the important people would wear. And they're very makbid on any small stain. Then we speak about what's a Talmid Chacham. So it depends for what? For a Shavas Aveda, if he makes sure not to wear clothing inside out. For being a partner, so it depends. In his own town, he has to know one Masechta fluently. They can ask him any question and he'll say it. To be a Rosh Yeshiva, ahead of all the Rabbanim Academy, then he has to be fluent in everything, even Masechta Kala. And whether everyone else have to do the jobs for him, if he puts aside his own things to learn Torah, and even then, all they have to work for is for bread, is basic necessities. Then we spoke about that the bath clothes were two types, where the outer garments were red, and the inner garments were white, and therefore there was Rabbi Yane, which wanted to be buried with these red bath clothes, because wherever he'll end up in his humble mind, whether in Gehenna or in Gan Eden, he shouldn't look odd. He shouldn't be white in Gan Eden or black in Gehenna or white and black in Gan Eden. Fine. Then we spoke about the machloikis, if you're allowed to bring the karbonis of Shabbos to burn it on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Shmuel says yes, Rabbi Kiva says no. They don't use the same pasuk because that's Eilah Shabbos for Shabbatim. You can learn it either Shabbos for Shabbos, and then you learn the Vav excluding something. So according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Shmuel, you were allowed to bring voluntary korbanos on Yom Tov. So if you're allowed to burn the chaylev of the voluntary korbanos on Yom Tov, for sure you can burn the Shabbos korban from yesterday. So there's no pasuk. You don't need a pasuk for that. So if the pasuk is saying Eilah Shabbos for Shabbos, it means to say Yom Kippur. They're allowed to bring the Shabbos korbanos on Yom Kippur. However, Rabbi Kiva says you're not allowed to bring voluntary korbanos on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to burn the chalavim. So we would never know that you're allowed to burn Shabbos's chaylev on Yom Tov. So we need a pasuk for that. So Eilah Shabbos for Shabbos is telling me Yom Tov, and then the Shabbat Toy, the extra vav, must be saying Yom Kippur. That's the next step. I have nothing left to include Yom Kippur and the ones that you're allowed to because I need an extra pasuk for Yom Tov.